Well, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
So, how are we doing with the whole 12-step thing? Any of these steps kicking your butt yet? No? Cakewalk? If you're visiting with us, we're in the middle of this series entitled Strong in the Broken Places, as we've been working our way through the 12 steps, which we discovered are actually based on biblical principles and that God is at the heart of the whole 12-step thing. And if you're like I was, you may believe that, you know, the 12 steps are really for alcoholics and those people who can't handle life on their own. But the reality is that the 12 steps are a tool for all of us, no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, to use the 12 steps to work through our issues and eventually overcome our issues and come out the other side just a little bit healthier than we are today. And if you're new to Westridge, if you're kind of checking us out, here's what you need to know about this place. We believe that all y'all are really messed up people. And that we all have issues. Ain't nobody any better than anybody else. And we always want this church to be a safe place where we can all grow and heal and move past the stuff that haunts us without judgment. Because we've all been through it. Or we're going through it. Or we will go through it. So, by way of review, let's go over the steps that we have covered so far. Week one, we went through steps one and two, which say that we admit that we are powerless over our problems and that our lives have become unmanageable. But we have come to believe that God can restore sanity to our lives. So this is where we talk about identifying the issues that we may have, our Goliaths, as we call them, those giant problems that we have that are bigger than we are. Then the next week, we went through step three, which says that we need to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, which all gets down to the issue of control. Who's going to be in control of your life? Steps four and five, then, we talked about that we need to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of our issues, our character defects, and we admit to God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, aka that we actually own our stuff. Brother Tim, brought us through steps six and seven last week, which said that we are entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character from us and humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Which brings us to today, which I'm sad to report or happy to report or something, that these steps actually are going to take way more courage for us to work through them than any of the other steps. These are not for the faint of heart, because these steps deal with the issue of coming clean and getting right with people that you are not right with, which is never easy stuff. And so step eight says we make a list of all the people that we have harmed, and we become willing to make amends with them all. And then step nine takes that next difficult step that says that we are to actually make direct amends with those people whenever possible, except when to do so would cause harm to them or to others. That's really tough. These steps require me to dig up all the unresolved issues of my past and bring them up into the light of day and force me to deal with them. Do you have something that is in your past that is still causing you pain today? I've learned a few things in my close to 50 years of living so far. I've learned that the people whom we're closest to, that we love the most, they tend to hurt us the deepest. I've learned that the unintended consequences for my bad choices in my life have caused me to harm people that I didn't intend to harm. And I've learned that I should never expect that we will ever, ever be free from pain this side of heaven. That is a tough song. It just is a reminder of, in our humanity, like, the thing that we all have in common is that we cannot escape the grasp of pain and hurt in our lives. So these two steps, they say that we are to make a list of all the people that we've harmed and make amends with those people whenever possible. These steps force me to deal with the unresolved issues in my life. And I'll add one more additional aspect to this that goes beyond the 12 steps, which is that if somebody has caused hurt in my life, in my past, then we have to have the strength to forgive them as well. We have to find the courage to let that go, even if they don't ask for it. This is all about cleaning up the dirty laundry of our past that's just been laying there in a pile for a very, very long time. And no matter how many times we just walk over it, and believe me, I'm the king of walking over a pile of dirty laundry, both metaphorically and literally, and it ain't going anywhere until we deal with it, until we decide that we're going to clean it up. So this is where the heavy lifting of the 12 steps comes in. And unless we have done the work of steps 1 through 7, unless we are entirely ready to change, unless we've come to a place where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt we've got to create change in our life, odds are against us ever making it over the hump on this one. However, if we are ready, if we are entirely ready, if we decide to accept the challenge to make amends with all of those people that we are not right with, then we sit down and we make a list of anyone, everyone we've ever harmed. And we put it there in black and white. And we take the time to identify where our pain is coming from. Because these steps are all about dealing with our pain. Our issues that we're talking about, those are symptomatic of a wound that is still open and oozing deep inside of our soul that is in desperate need of healing. Alana Van Zandt puts it this way. Until you heal the wounds of your past, you will continue to bleed. You can bandage the bleeding with food or alcohol or sex or work or whatever else it is that is your thing that you choose to help you cope. But until you heal your past, you're going to keep on bleeding. So we have to somehow find the strength to identify the core of what it is that is causing our hurt and our pain and figure out how we're going to make peace with that. We have to identify the pain before we can do anything about it. We have to come to the realization that it really is sitting there deep inside of our soul and we just haven't dealt with it. But once we do, we have to face down the source of that pain in order to heal. Can you think of anybody? Anybody at all that you've hurt along the way? Anybody you need to get right with? For those of us who are still in denial about the fact that we have any issues at all, I'm guessing that coming up with a name is probably difficult, so I thought I might get some ideas going, get the engine moving on the brain. So ask yourself some of these questions. Is there anybody that I owe a debt to, monetarily or any way else, that I haven't repaid? Is there anyone I have broken a promise to or lied to or have broken their trust? Is there anyone I've been over-controlling with, my wife or kids or an employee? Is there anybody that I can just think that I might have hurt in some way, because the thing that I've realized is, however bad you think it is, it's way worse than that? Is there anyone I've been harsh with or overly critical of and have really kept down or put down in my life? Have I been verbally, physically, or emotionally abusive to anybody? We make a list of those that I've harmed. And we are specific about what it is that I have done, and we own it. Being able to come to the point of realization that we really have hurt people in my past, and to make a list of all of those people and put it down in black and white, is a really hard thing. But then to take the next step, and whenever possible, actually come face to face with that person, that's way more difficult. That's a whole other thing. And whether we like it or not, we have to come face to face with the source of our pain before we can heal it. For those of you who have heard me speak on this topic before, you know that I like to illustrate this point using my favorite children's book, Going on a Bear Hunt. Y'all know Going on a Bear Hunt? If you have little kids and you haven't bought this for your kids, you need to go out and buy this for your kids. Go to Amazon.com during the sermon and go ahead and do that. Great book. So it's about these four kids, and they get up every day and they say, "Today, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch us a bear, a big one. What a beautiful day." And then they say, "We're not scared." And with that, they would set out on their journey to go catch a bear. Well, each day on their bear hunt, they would encounter some obstacle that they had to overcome. So, for instance, on the first day, they came across a field of really tall grass, swishy swashy. And then they came to a really big river, splash splosh. And here's the part I love. Every time they encounter a new obstacle, it's like they were trying to get the courage together, and they would say this together. "Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Gotta go through it." Then they came to thick, oozy mud, squish, squash. And they said, "Can't go over it. Can't go under it. We gotta go through it." Then they even came to a big snowstorm. "Ooh. You can't mock me." And just for that, you can say with me, what is it that they said? "Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Got to go through it." That's right. Along the way, in our journey to change, we hit roadblocks. We hit obstacles. And these are all the things that we have to walk through, no matter how difficult, if we're going to have any hope of being able to move forward and heal. Ultimately, there's no way around it. We can't go over it. We can't go around it. We've just got to go right stinking through the middle of it. And it's no fun, But we got to walk through it. It's part of our journey. Some of us are bleeding internally, and we don't even know it. Because we have masked our pain with the unhealthy issues that we have developed in an effort to cope so that we can avoid dealing with the tough stuff that is required of us to work through because we don't want to have to face our pain. Believe it or not, this step comes right out of the Bible. Jesus says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, if you're sitting in church and you remember, somebody has this thing against me, leave your gift there in front of the altar, leave church immediately, and go deal with it. Be reconciled with your brother or sister first, then come and offer your gift at the altar. What the Bible teaches us is that before we can get healthy, before we can even get right with God, we've got to get right with the people that we have harmed or who have harmed us, the people that we are not right with in our lives. And our pride, oh, our pride, it rears its ugly head again. Nothing is a bigger barrier to these steps than our pride. Because in order to come clean and to give a honest, heartfelt apology is to come to a place in our lives where we can set aside our ego, we can move past our pride, and we can accept the humility of walking through what we have to walk through in all humbleness. There's a big difference between saying I'm sorry and actually making amends. By the way, I'm sure you've said you're sorry 100 times, maybe for the same thing, over and over and over and over again, and nothing ever changes. But this is where we fully acknowledge the pain and the destruction that we have caused in our past. This is where we acknowledge the hurt that we have caused somebody else, the damage we've caused in somebody else's life, and we make a commitment that says, this will not happen again. We draw a line in the sand and say, no more. And just to prove how sorry I am, I will work my butt off and do whatever it takes so that I can rebuild trust with you. That's making amends. The most important thing to remember in this step is this. Don't bring some weak butt apology up in here. How many times have we skimmed around a genuine apology and had said stuff like, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm sorry that you took it that way. Right? I mean, what you're really saying is, I'm still right, you're still wrong. And you usually don't know what you're talking about. And I'm sorry you're so weak that it hurt your feelings. That is no apology. A sincere, heartfelt apology begins with words like, I was wrong. There's no excuse for what I've done to you. I'm sorry that I hurt you. Or I was a jerk. Or if you're going to get real, you want to say something maybe a little worse than that. Don't try and justify it. Don't make excuses. Don't try and deflect it by blaming somebody else. Just plain old own your stuff with the person that you have hurt and realize that no matter how bad you think it is, it's probably worse than you think. One of the hardest things in the world to do is to look somebody in the eyes and say, I screwed up. I wronged you. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And by the way, this step also acknowledges that there are times when it is not practical to go to that person that we've harmed because of the sensitive nature of what it is that we have done, and it might actually cause more harm than good. Or that person that we've harmed is no longer living, and you can't make amends. It's not even possible. So in these situations, we have to offer up our full remorse and come clean before God. The Bible calls this repentance. And ask for His forgiveness. And then we have to do something that is very uncomfortable, which is we have to be able to forgive ourselves. Cleaning up our past is never, ever neat or easy. It's always, in my opinion, difficult and messy and hard to work through it. And so, for instance, we have to be prepared for the fact that when we go to somebody for forgiveness, that they won't forgive us. That they're not ready to hear what you have to say. They're not ready to forgive you. And you have to be okay with that, and you can't get mad about that. I can't make somebody accept my apology, or when they don't, get all victim-y and say, well, I tried. All I can do is to get the courage to go face to face with that person that I have wronged and say, I'm sorry. I actually went through something very similar where somebody close to me hurt me several years ago, and I wouldn't let it go. I just couldn't bring myself to forgive that person. But every time I thought about it, I got ticked. Like, I would just seethe resentment and bitterness. And finally, after several years, I really spent some time evaluating it, and I asked myself, who am I to judge him? Like, I have done worse things to other people. How can I be judgmental of what he's done to me? And then the worst thing happened. I came to the most horrific realization that I had to take responsibility for my part in the equation and ask for his forgiveness. Dang. And so I got up the courage. I tracked him down after several years. I decided to call him. And I have to tell you, it didn't go well. He was, to me, the same person that hurt me many years ago. There was no apology from his end. There was no remorse. There wasn't even an acknowledgement of what it is that he had done to me. However, that didn't change the fact that in spite of that, I needed to apologize and ask for forgiveness for my part of the equation, which I did. And that sucked. That required a ton of humility and putting my ego aside. But because I did that, I have to tell you this. I was able to let go of my resentment. I was able to move on with my healing. And I can honestly tell you that I don't deal with that anymore. I am done with that. You can't go over it. Can't go around it. You got to go through it. And most of the time, it's no fun. Someone once said, holding on to resentment is like gripping a hot coal in our hands with the intent to throw it at somebody else, but instead we're the ones that get burnt. There's a sign that hangs in some 12-step centers that says, would you rather be right or would you like to get well? And it's a choice that I think we all have to make, because a lot of us, we get dug in, and we say, you know what? They're wrong. They owe me the apology. I'm not going to apologize to them. But I have to tell you, I'm too tired for all that. I just want to get well. I can't let my pride stop me anymore from admitting truthfully about the stuff that I've done and the mistakes that I've made and owning what I've done to the people when I have wronged them. Can we find the strength to go to our wife, to go to our husband, and to say, I know that I have not treated you with the respect and the love that you deserve, and begin healing a marriage that's been in distress for a very long time? Or can we find the courage to go to our kids and say, you know what, I have a problem with anger. And I'm sorry, I yell at you all the time. Can we find the inner fortitude to go to that person that we have hurt so deeply and just say, I was so wrong. I am so sorry. Can you ever forgive me for the pain that I've caused you? There is nothing more healing than forgiveness. Forgiving yourself, forgiving others, asking others to forgive you, and them actually forgiving you. Forgiveness is the essential ingredient to letting go of the past. And it is only love that can heal our wounds. If I were to sum all of this up in a few sentences, I would say it like this. Are you holding on to something in your past that is causing you pain? Call it out. Identify it. Are you holding a grudge against somebody? Let it go. Has someone done something to you that has caused you a deep pain? Forgive them. Have you hurt somebody else? Ask for forgiveness. And after all of that, is there still this deep, burning pain inside of you? Forgive yourself. It all sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But the reality is that that is some of the toughest stuff that we will ever, ever have to walk through. And the sad truth is there are a lot of us who won't make it. There are a lot of us who will take that pain down to our grave. And I can tell you this. I don't want to be dealing with all that crap at the end of my life. Like, I want to die all freed up from the pain and destruction that I have caused in my life, at least the stuff that I have caused. Don't wait until it's too late. Clean it up. Make amends. Heal the pain. The wound that is so deep in our soul, so that you can be freed up to live the life that God wants you to live. The only promise that I can make you is this. It's not easy, because we can't go over it, can't get around it. But when we have to do it, God promises us that he will walk with us.